Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, first up today, I'd like to take a look at the front pages and the business stories around this morning's papers. I'm delighted to have two local people with me to review the papers. We've got Alan Corcoran. He's the news editor and presenter at Southeast Radio. We're also joined by Killian Bulger, a journalist with the Wexford People and the Irish Independent. Good morning, lads. How are you?
Morning, Bobby. How are you?
Now, we might start, Killian, with you, if you would. Cliff Taylor, who we often look at on this programme, because we follow his fiscal narrative fairly closely from week to week. But his piece today is quite interesting because he says, what was Jack Chambers thinking?
Yeah, as you say, Bobby, Cliff, particularly good on commenting around that fiscal narrative, and it's intensifying now as we approach into the budget. One might think that this might be rather a difficult budget for people. There isn't an immediate general election coming up, so it might be quite tough. But the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, which is the budget watchdog in Ireland, have had a good go at the government. Basically, what's happening is the outside forces are having a major effect. The comments that Trump are making around public pulling back American companies back into the United States. There was a document published on Thursday, the Median Term Expenditure Framework.
Even the name of it makes me shiver.
It makes me shiver, Bobby. It's a 77-page document. Cliff Taylor says effectively that that Minister Chambers should have wrote the foreword to it and advised the civil servants to throw it in the bin. Perhaps we should have waited until the budget. But essentially, it leaves the government with a relatively stark choice. That's sort of $9 billion a year based on leave spending at $9 billion a year based on current spending totals, or take the penny-pinching approach, which is bringing it back down to $5 billion a year. And we've got to see what the American multinationals do, the threat of tariffs of there. But I have to say, at least from an external point of view, US companies have not left Ireland in their droves as of yet.
No, and the you know, the corporate tax income, which is probably the bridge between that $9 billion and the $5 billion, is still there for now. Anyway, Alan, I don't know what you make of this, but one of the things, the challenges that the government has coming up to budget is these one-off payments that were granted last year.
Absolutely.
Hugely expensive.
Yeah.
And now a lot of pressure on them to because they really, while they are good in their intent, they're very expensive and they're not targeted.
Yep. And again, the buzzword I'm getting at the moment is people want more of these one-off payments on the basis of what we've heard about the increase in electricity prices. I mean, on the programme, The Morning Mix yesterday on Southeast Radio, the listeners were coming in their droves about they're majorly concerned about the rise in energy costs. But also, I agree with what Killian said there as well. When I read through this, and you're a radio presenter like myself, Bobby, like the amount of waffle that comes down the line. This is a 77-page document. Who in the name of God is going to read a 77-page document? I mean, am I going to go home and sit down now for my Sunday afternoon and go through this in detail? And me hat. Like this is another kind of dose of waffle coming down the line, Bobby. And I think they really need to simplify things a little bit more. Kind of give us the main points. All people want to know is, how much is this going to be for me in my pay packet at the end of the week?
Yeah.
And I mean, when I read through this, and fair play to Jack Chambers, because I think he's gone into detail in highlighting the fact that this 77-page document is not really clarifying anything for us. That's the impression I would get.
Well said, Killian. Let's have a look at what's happening in Ryanair. And if ever there was a first-class negotiator publicly and privately, it's Michael O'Leary. But he seems to have really rattled the Spanish in terms of his negotiating strategy.
Yeah, so a piece here by Peter Campbell and Barney Jobson. Ryanair prepared to cut 1 million more seats from Spain in terms of flights next summer. I have to say, I took a Ryanair flight to Spain, to Madrid this summer, and Michael O'Leary will be delighted to know that I found the service perfectly satisfactory. Effectively this relates to an argument with the Spanish state-owned operator Aena. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Michael was saying, I think at Ryanair's AGM during the week, I'm due back in Madrid in 2 weeks. I will probably announce another 1 million seats coming out next summer. And I think Spain is certainly up there for Ryanair, possibly the second biggest market. We know how attractive it is for Irish holiday.
18% of their revenue
18%
comes from Spain.
Yeah, and a 6.5% increase in charges to state-owned Spanish airline Aena, which Ryanair refuses to pay flat out. So yeah, this is an argument which doesn't seem like it's going to be going away anytime soon. But I will say that because Spain is such a big market for Ryanair, I wonder will there be a solution? Can they come to some sort of agreement before next summer?
Yeah, and I think this is again a negotiation through the media, Killian Boggan. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm Alan. Bobby, yeah, it is indeed. Do you want me to look at the second part of this article?
Yeah, why don't you have a look at the AI story?
Yeah, the AI story, because Michael O'Leary, who is great media copy, says he's accusing the travel agents, according to this article, of being bloodsuckers, unauthorized illegal ticket tout scams. He also goes on to the whole area of AI is the reason why they have come to the table. He says the fast-talking airline chief recognizes that AI could be a double-edged sword. I worry that whoever wins in AI, say Google or ChatGPT, if they start selling 60% of our seats, they'll turn around and try and charge us for distribution. So I think he certainly has a point to make in relation to his concerns over AI. He's not really very supportive of the travel agents trade either, is he?
Yeah, no. And again, he's moving on to the next row as well, which I like. He's having already negotiated with the scrapers, as he calls them, on the website.
Yeah, but he's great copy, Bobby.
Absolutely,
yeah.
He is.
Bobby, he calls them, he calls travel agents bloodsuckers, unauthorized illegal ticket touting scams, and he's been taking that sort of approach since 2008. So Michael O'Leary not particularly happy on that front.
Killian, if we look at the hospitality business, there's a couple of reports out here from Faltry Ireland, a career study. It's probably widely documented about the travails of the sector at the moment. But, you know, what are restaurants doing to attract, retain and I provide, I suppose, better conditions for people in this sector? Because, you know, having good staff and loyal staff in the hospitality business is absolutely essential.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Alan would say something similar. But whenever I've spoken to business owners, one of the issues that they've raised with me is the challenges around recruitment. That's for sure. So once you have good staff, it's a huge benefit to the business. But getting them can be another challenge. So this is a career survey by Faltry Ireland, and it's effectively looking at how restaurants are lowering staff and I guess more importantly, retaining them. They look at a sort specifically at Market Lane in Cork and speak to the company's head office coordinator there, Michelle Daniel. And it seems like post pandemic, the work has changed. The working landscape has changed, and it hasn't necessarily gone back. I was doing my leaving cert during the pandemic and doing my leaving cert from the kitchen table. So teachers were working from their home, but you now have this sort of desire for work from home, job sharing, slightly easier hours. And I guess in the restaurant business, you've been in the hospitality business for a long time. There's two issues there. Firstly, the hours aren't always complementary to a social life, but secondly, you have to be there in person. You can't necessarily serve a coffee or a champagne to somebody or cook a meal from home.
It's a here and now business. It's a, yeah. Alan, the tourism industry struggling to recruit chefs into the sector over the year again. This is not a new problem, but I think the pool of available labour seems to be an issue. I suppose the fact that there's a shortage of culinary staff means, you know, that they're poached from place to place on better terms and conditions.
The first thing, and I think maybe, I'm sure Killian would refer to it as well, is the VAT rate in the forthcoming budget, 13% down to 9%. Small and medium enterprise is crucial, and I can only speak from my own dealings with the Wexford economy. The VAT rate down to 9% is absolutely crucial, particularly for small and medium enterprises, and a lot of those will be in the hospitality sector. When it comes to chefs, I'm looking at the article here by Martin Claffey. It says, a lack of affordable accommodation and wages were two of the biggest factors affecting recruitment and retention in the tourism industry. Better basic pay remains the top factor in attracting and retaining staff, and 62% of workers reported that pay conditions in the sector have improved in the last 2 years. And can I take this opportunity on News Talk to advertise the wonderful culinary offers we have here in County Wexford? This is the place to come to the sunny southeast.
Well, we're going to be looking at opera a bit later, and well done for heralding. Well said, Alan. Killian, a US fintech company, Mercury, establishing a lab operation here following a $300 million funding round. This is actually quite a big story. It's a big investment by another American company in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking about it earlier in the discussion. I think we should be. I think we should rejoice. We should be quite relieved, and we should be encouraging this. So, as you say, the U.S. fintech company Mercury are establishing a lab in Ireland following that $300 million funding round. Last year, it handled more than $150 billion of transactions. It says here that a personal banking service is expected to begin this year with Mercury operating a waiting list. And what I thought was interesting from this piece by John Mulligan is so it is pitching that it will offer a 4% annual a 4% annual yield, I should say, on savings for an annual subscription fee of $240. So if there's anyone out there that can make that work, it might be appealing to them. But within the piece, there wasn't actually a huge amount of detail in relation to where the lab would be or the level of employment it would create. So we'll wait and see.
And I also see that the company itself didn't comment in terms of the article as well. So maybe somewhat speculative, but it does appear to be happening. And John Mulligan, generally, when he reports these things, they generally are happening. What about the presidential election, Alan? Interesting there, a piece of one page on page 8 of the Irish Independent, some analysis from John Downing about it being a dub. But the other piece, really, by Maeve McIntaggart, from a wheelbarrow to legal eagles, hopefuls taking the council route. Yeah. It appears that the route, there's a lot of roadblocks and hurdles along the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can give you an update locally on this one, because it was at the Wexford County Council chamber meeting last Monday, the first one of the brand new calendar, and it was brought up that we have, I think, 17 would-be presidential candidates wanting to get the vote of the Wexford County Council.
And have they seen, has the Wexford Council seen any of them yet?
No, what's happening is next Friday afternoon, they're going to be given the opportunity to give a five-minute address. And of course, the buzzword is, will Conor McGregor show up at Wexford County Council? So can I tell you something, Bobby? I'll be there in the afternoon to see if he will show up. There are 17 candidates, a lot of names that we have never even heard of yet, but they are going to be given a five-minute opportunity to speak next Friday afternoon at Wexford County Council.
There's a chap called Barry Wheelie Rowe, who I didn't know about. He's from Leitrim. And he also goes by, he's a poet called Stephen Murphy. Did you know about him?
I have to say, Bobby, I didn't. And I was also struck by the analysis by John Downing. Interesting from him. It's been 66 years since the first dub in the park. Could Gavin be the second? We're speaking in Wexford. You're a Kilkenny man. Don't Dublin have enough? Now they want the presidency.
Coming down here, stealing our presidency.
President O'Kealaig exited the Oars in June 1959, who would have thought they had to wait so many more years? And you know, by this by by the time he left, actually, the Dublin GAA teams were backboned by Colchis. That's obviously been transformed by Jim Gavin. He's most known in public for the incredible work he did with Dublin GAA and the FRC.
Well, let's stay with GAA.
Yeah, but can I just add one final comment about the presidency? Mary Robinson was on the Late Show last night. Really enjoyed the interview. As a very young broadcaster, when I was that young lad's age, I had the opportunity to interview her in Áras an Uachtaráin. I think there's a wonderful statesman-like feel of the presidency. Some people say we should do away with it. Would totally disagree, Bobby. I think, like, following in the footsteps of Michael D. Higgins, we need to get someone in there equally statesman-like.
Now, what's happening down here in Wexford? Because I always like to consider a local story. Right. Wexford GAA appoints former boxing champion Bernard Dunn to a talent and development role.
Now, I told you about Killian and I are representatives or members of the same club, and we gave you the name of the club. Are you going to try and pronounce it for us? And turn the tables on you now.
Castle Feek.
No, Fife Harriers. Say it.
I'm an All Auckland Gaels man. I wouldn't know anything about that. Now listen to me, what about this? So Bernard Dunn's coming down here to sort out Wexford GAA. Does that mean, because I know he's worked with Davy Fitzgerald before, does that mean that we're going to be going back to 2016, to 2021, and Davy Fitzgerald will be following him back?
A lot of enthusiasm. The focus is on hurling, and he's a former champion boxer, and he's appointed as a talent and development role. I was actually speaking to Adrian Fenlon, who was one of the people involved in this. Adrian will be well known to hurling enthusiasts. He was a member of the 96 All-Ireland team. In his new role, he's going to work with players, coaches and management to strengthen player pathways. So it sounds interesting. It's all about motivation. And as Killian will back me up on, it's very important to get in at grassroots level and encourage more people to play Gaelic games.
Last shout to you, Killian. In terms of music falling on deaf ears, do you listen to the same music that your father or your grandfather listened to?
No.
Tell us about this story.
Yeah, I can't say that I do. So this is essentially, this is a sort of a commentary piece here, essentially making the point that they've analysed 15 years of listening to data from more than 40,000 people. And the core message from that, Bobby, is that music doesn't sound the same anymore. You know, my father has been telling me that back in his day, you'd sit down in front of Top of the Pops and hear some good music, and now it's all Taylor Swift rubbish. Essentially, our appreciation for music is driven by nostalgia.
I also think it's probably because we're keen listeners of music in our earlier years, and we found all the music we like by the time we're probably 30.
Yeah.
And we're not really as interested in well, most of us anyway, in finding new music, Johns.
Bobby, the main group at the moment is Kingfisher, and the lad fronting Kingfisher is Eddie from Davidstown. So that's where the heart of music is, here in the Model County.
All right, well, we've heard it here, folks. A big thanks to our guests, Alan Corcoran, news editor and presenter at Southeast Radio, and Killian Boggan, who's the journalist with the Wexford People and also with the Irish Independent.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.